Welcome to the R7 podcast, sponsored by M is Good. R7 is an innovative, God-inspiring process that explores personal and professional purpose. R7 analyzes seven strategies to transform your vision and find direction in your organizational marketing. R7 establishes clarity and guidance for the gift we call life. Welcome to the R7 podcast. You pumped up today.
Dude, every time I get to the end of that song, it's just it makes you want to go, destiny. Like you gotta feel the tension, man. You gotta feel the tension, and it's all about you. You gotta bring it.
Today
almost,
we're talking.
It's almost real men of genius, Dave Jones. It's almost real men of genius.
Well, you know, it's gonna really it's all about messaging, honestly.
Yeah, well, it can be for sure.
We are gonna talk about action today on the podcast. Welcome all of you across the world. Welcome to the R7 podcast. We believe on the R7, Dave, you believe this, okay? That the key to success lies in resetting your heart, mind, and life through the power of R7, which is destiny, vision, strategy, brand, communication, action. And today we're talking about action, and you're going to love this, Dave, and the audience are going to love this because we're going to take a little bit of sports. Okay. And we're going to take a little bit of R7. We're going to mix it all up. And out is going to come a very cool message. Nice. Strap in.
All right. R7 sports cocktail.
Yeah. So let's talk about practice, right? We're talking about action. You're doing things. Things aren't going your way. Things are going your way. A lot of times we just go. Because we feel like either that action is masking something and, you know, subconsciously we're just going because who's going to tell me I'm lots of busy. Who's going to tell me what to do? I'm super busy and I'm cranking out and I'm run. I got a whole task list, can't get to me, which is a masking device. So really brings in this idea of like practice makes perfect. Which we know practice doesn't make perfect. We know that perfect practice makes perfect, right? So when you're throwing 10,000 hours behind something, your wheels are turning. I see you.
Or practice makes progress.
Perfect practice makes even better progress.
There you go. I got you.
Yeah. So, we've all been out there. Now, I can say that, I kind of feel like some sports, like individual sports, not necessarily team sports, but individual sports, you can put a lot of repetition behind it. Like, let's say golf.
Yep.
Like my swing, my driver, my chipping. Like a lot of y'all just need to get out there and chip, right? You can't have great chipping without chipping,
Yeah.
You can't chip five balls once a week and expect to have that great chip shot. You got to put some repetition behind it.
No, I think it was the show last week with our kids where we talked about Tiger Woods' daily routine. That was crazy, man, with the running and the time on the range and the time on the green and everything else. You can't be amazing without putting in the work.
Got to put in the work. Got to put in the repetition. And so, I think it is a highly debatable thing to say, if I put in the repetition, but if I put in the repetition without counsel or put in the repetition without a coach, can I get to where I need to go without the perfection in it? What do you think, Dave Bennett?
I don't think so. I mean, you think about we're going to do individual sports. You can take any golfer, any tennis player. There's none of them out there at the pro level. They're doing it on their own with no coach. Now, do they switch coaches? Absolutely. Tiger Slam happens with Butch Harmon. He gets Hank Haney later. He always has a swing coach. Andre Agassi, one of the best players ever, always had a coach. He had Nick Bollettieri. I think you have to have that coach. Now, you can look at Freddie Couples. Freddie Couples has had a golf coach for sure, but that swing of his, the bones of it, the foundation of it. Yeah, he came up with that one himself. But if he came up with that himself, he still needed a coach to get to the next level and be the kind of golfer that he is. He couldn't get it there on his own. So there's my answer to you. What say you?
So I think it's called like bandwidth feedback. Like you got to have the coach to tell you what to do, and then you got to go practice it. And then you come back to the coach. right? And say, what do you think? And then you go practice it. You know, so there's definitely repetition in that. Now, let's kind of flip the switch here, like, because I think there is a thin line here of connecting the dots. So when we're talking about your destiny, vision, your strategy, your brand, communicating, praying about steps 1 through 5, and then step 7, take action. If we don't have a proper path, vision, and we're just taking action, like you don't have the coach, right? And you just action, asking, task list. Are you getting to where you want to go?
I think there's power in that feedback, right? Without that feedback, you don't know that certain mm-hmm. parts of your game, your leadership game, or if it's actually an individual sport game, whatever, are getting out of whack. And it's hard for you to take a step outside yourself and see it. So you need that feedback. But I think in a coaching situation, you know, in terms of becoming, whether it's a better leader, a better entrepreneur, or whatever, you have to open yourself up to that feedback. You know, you can't go into those feedback sessions with a defensive mindset. Yeah. You got to be open.
So here we go. You ready? It's a big one here, Dave Bennett. You ready?
I feel like you set me up for this. Okay, so let's go.
There's two setups here. This is setup number one.
Hey, well, time out. Did I take the bait? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Oh, you totally took it.
This is dumb. Okay.
All right. Can action be considered valuable if it lacks clear purpose?
Oh, man. Oh, so just action for action.
No purpose.
I don't know that action can be valuable.
Right.
If there's no purpose, because, I mean, we do this, right? You do this with your kids. If you're a parent and you're listening and you're trying to teach them something, and they just go through the motions and they throw their body into it, and you're like, dude, you're getting no value.
Right.
You know, whether they get mad at a golf course, they're like, fine. And they just, you know, hit the ball.
This wherever. Is stupid. Like,
exactly. Yeah. I can't do that. You know, or it's cleaning their room and they chuck all of their clothes into the closet and slam the door. You know, the action has no sharpening. There's nothing there to make it worthwhile. At that point, it's empty action. They're like, they're empty action. How about that one? Empty action is like a sugar cube. There's no real value.
There's no value. So here we go, man. We got our list. We got our email. And we're just going about our day with no clear purpose. Now, maybe the purpose is to show up and make money and, you know, check the box. I went to work today. Is that enough?
You know, okay. So I think back, you know, maybe almost 25 years ago, coming out of college, going into the workforce. Yeah, I very quickly developed a vision for where I wanted to be within my company that I was in and the jobs that I wanted to do. And that was what drove me. I don't know that I could have showed up every day and just gone through the motions, man. You know, but it's what amazes me when you meet somebody who has a job and the job isn't sexy. It's not like the one that moves the needle in the company, but that person does it with an attitude that's amazing, mm-hmm. with a smile. And treats it as if it is the most impactful job. Over time, the influence that they generate where they are is crazy.
This reminds me of my time in Germany. I was so blown away at how the Germans love what they do. And it doesn't matter what they're doing. You know, some of my friends were, you know, one was a brewmeister. You know, and he was kind of the lowest of the brewmeister. Like he was just like internship and he just loved cleaning because someday he was going to be a brewmeister. You know, some of them were electricians, some were plumbers, you know, and it just the pride that they had in their job was just remarkable to me. It still drives me today to say, you know what, this might be a minimal, non-meaningful task, but I'm going to do it the best that I can. You know, and so I think that's super powerful, man.
So that makes me think of this, though. So I'm a huge, we never talk about this, but I'm a huge Billy Joel fan. Huge. He's one of those artists to me so many of the songs, I read the lyrics and I feel like they were either written about my life or for me or whatever. Then they've helped guide me. And I've been that way for a long time, probably since college. And there's a song he wrote called Vienna. And if you're listening, you already know the story, just bear with me. But everybody else, he, you know, his parents split up. His dad moves back to Europe. He finds him. He goes and visits him in Vienna. And Vienna, you know, is a very, again, old European city. You know, it was very much a crossroads city, whether it was cultural crossroads, food crossroads, whatever. So you had a lot to pick from different parts of Europe, is what I'm trying to say. And so they're walking down the street, and there's this old lady there, and she's sweeping the street. And Billy goes, that's really unfortunate. What's this old lady doing out here sweeping the street? And his dad looks at him and he goes, you don't understand. He goes, she has a job, she has a purpose. And it gets her up every day, you know, whereas in our country, people get to a certain age and you put them in a home. You know, I think half the time it's people with no, it's the lack of purpose that kills people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, or you think about it, you know, in that identity side too, you think about people that retire and then they just lose it. I mean, there's an issue out there that happens. A lot of people that retire and then they get sick, they get cancer, whatever, because they have no purpose. They have nothing driving them and they don't know what to do. You know, and I mean, it's interesting because, you know, in that song, he talks about, you know, slow down, you crazy child. You're so ambitious for a juvenile. But if you're so smart, tell me, why are you still so afraid? And later in the song, he goes, you've got your passion, you've got your pride, but don't you know that only fools are satisfied? Dream on, but don't imagine they'll all come true. And when will you realize Vienna waits for you? And that's exactly what you're talking about. Is this idea that if there is no purpose, if there is no, you know, as we say in this podcast, tip of the spear, there's nothing there that's really going to drive you. You're going to take whatever you're doing. It's going to turn into madness.
Gallup has a poll out there. I read this years ago, but it says 66% of the U.S. economy is disengaged at work. 66, man. And less than 10% of the U.S. economy trusts their management. So why are we doing it, Dave?
We got bills to pay, man. Just, I mean, I think that's part of it.
Paying the bills and moving on.
Yeah, you have consumer pressure. You've got societal pressure. You have pressure at home, right? You have all those things. But it's one of those things that when you find somebody that truly loves what they do and they look at you and they say that sentence that drives you crazy, man, I would do this job even if I didn't get paid for it. I would do it for free. And you're like, liar. There's no way. But the reality is, at least it appears that way, that they absolutely love what they do. And it's part of the fabric of who they are. And you're right. R7 helps kind of clear the debris to figure out what is that thing for you. What is your it factor? What is your thing that really lights you on fire? And I would guess, you know, Dave, for you, has it changed over the years or has it always been the same or has it kind of morphed and spiderwebbed out to include additional things? Like, what has it been for you?
It has definitely been refined over the years, but the process still remains the same.
I love it.
You got to dig deep and you got to find it, you know, what that why and that passion, and then build that vision and then build the messaging. Which is setup number two. Setup number one was, can action be considered valuable if it lacks clear purpose? The answer is no.
No.
You can't do it. So, again, a thin line connecting the dots. Perfect practice makes perfect progress.
Yeah.
Right? So, let's take that line of thinking and talk about your message.
Mm-hmm.
Your message, right? So powerful messaging, this is setup number two. Powerful messaging drives remarkable conversions. So if we're spinning our wheels, we have no purpose, right? But now we find our messaging and we say we have powerful messaging from our vision. Vision's part of the messaging, right? But you still got that brand level messaging. You still got that conversion metric of, I need people to help me. I need resources. I need talents. I need, you know, I need a lot of things to make this vision from God come true. And so this is where the powerful messaging drives remarkable conversions. Your conversions can be to your website, to your contact form, for your donors, but also can be for your teammates, the people that need to help you rally the nation, perhaps the world, around your vision. So we need remarkable messaging, or we need powerful messaging.
And when I think of our seven, I think part of that messaging is for yourself.
Yes, for sure. It's part of yourself. Yes.
Like you got to buy into that. You know, I mean, I think about doing our seven with you years ago, and then, you know, doing some other work on it on my own as well, is that it was, you know, we had talked about it. And for me, it was very much down to a couple of words. Yeah. You know, for me, I provoke potential. And then we just added to it and said, I provoke potential with every person on the planet. And that is bigger than me, bigger. You know, I need God to be able to do that. But when I think about it, I am a provoker, and potential is like crack. Like, yeah. I will find it. I love it.
And what that does for you is that gives you clarity and direction on how to move forward.
Absolutely. Because, man, I think about it. When I was in my 20s, I was all about, I want to be able to teach and train leaders and develop leaders and all that. You know, and then over the next 20 years or whatever, it was beginning to figure out, you don't have to be a trainer to do that. You can be an executive. You can still be a mentor. You can still, I mean, there's a lot of different roles and jobs you can do. And then it was refining it, and kind of, as a friend of mine talks about, narrowing the pie wedge into what is it exactly that you can do to get really focused. You know, and for me, it was then understanding I need roles and things that I do that allow me to provoke potential. If I do that, now we're talking about life-giving sauce right there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Life-giving experiences to make you, when you go home at night, go, man, I think I actually made a difference today.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the days that you don't, and if you don't understand it, you can't put words to it, you can't articulate it, that you don't know if you did or not. Now you're left on just all feel. How do you feel today? Oh, I think I did good. You know, it's like when I think about some of your mental toughness training that you do with athletes, right? It's not about good job, buddy. It's about, hey, what do you think you did well?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think you did well? What do you think you got to get better at? It's having more quality conversations.
In reflection on, you know, I think what you're alluding to is the good, better, best after performance. Like, what did we do good? What could we have done better? And what could we have done to perform at our best?
Yep.
You know, the good, better, best, which is a constant reflection. You know, and for me, it's unifying excellence in the marketplace. Like, I love excellence. I love efficiencies and streamlining and kicking butt and winning together. You know, and those, you know, that has a recipe to it. But it also, again, provides clarity and direction in the steps that we're moving forward, right? If I can't, that's why I really just don't like politics a whole lot, is that I just can't get behind something that's completely out of my control. And so, like, why frustrate your life around it? Why have all that energy towards it when you can't influence it at all?
That's right.
I know some of the people out there, well, you can vote. Yeah, I can vote once a year. I could vote. Okay. That's not influencing a industry, you know? And so Fox News, CNN, they just frustrate you and you have no input. It's not affecting your income. It's not affecting your God-given dreams and passions and vision that God has given to you. It's just frustrating you. And they basically, you know, make a lot of money off your frustration by having you watch.
Well, and the other thing is, it's off of ignorance, because, and I know this is not what this podcast is about, but I'll just put this out there. And if you don't know, go research it. You can read all you can about it on Google. But does our vote matter? Of course it does. Yes. We live in a country we can vote, but are our elected officials put in their places by popular vote? No. No. No, our president does not win on popular vote. You remember W's first election? Gore won on popular vote, but he won the Electoral College.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, right? Where you're dealing with all of these feelings of angst inside of you going, okay, I do get to vote. But then you do the research, and you're like, but I'm not even part of the Electoral College, man. I don't get to do those things. And now you're going, well, what am I really doing? But we still need everybody to vote. So it's one of those catch-22s. But, you know, for you, you're probably one of the most dynamic, strategic people of action I know, where when it's time to roll, you roll with both barrels. You know, it's just how it works. And if there's not clarity and you don't feel there's a potential to at least win in whatever you're doing, then it's like, why am I doing this? I mean, I'll go do something else. I'll go hit balls into the net for an hour. You know,
I don't think I've anybody had anybody say that about me, but it's absolutely true. I don't have a dimmer switch.
No, man.
Yeah,
exactly. You're as bright as it can be.
Yeah, but if it's not there, then it's just not there. It needs to be developed further.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, you know, the hero is obviously the powerful messaging driving remarkable conversions, right? So part of that drop down menu is clarity and direction. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about this. That'd be the hero side. Let's talk about the villain. Mm. Talk about the villain for a second. So the villain on that side would be distraction, right? It would be a bigger picture to not fulfill what you're going after. So, you know, depending on your beliefs, your religious beliefs, that would be, you know, an adversary. It would be something that's, you know, that you and I would say it's demonic, right? Yep. It's distraction. It's fear. It's another thing I like to call flap. It's your fear, lust, anger, pride gets in the way. You know, all those are tools in Satan's toolbox to provide direction and destruction in your life, both mentally, emotionally, well, both mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, to take you down financially.
Yeah. I mean, and I would add apathy into that too. Mm. You know, I think for some people, when they get to a certain level of success, that they use what we've talked about, they've been focused, they have vision, they know what they want to do, that they get to a certain either level of success or have reached enough of the goal that the nasty little brother of apathy sneaks into the room and goes, hey, you don't need to try so hard anymore. You're good.
Hmm.
Right? I mean, how many people have you seen, they get to a certain level and then they disappear?
Yeah.
You know, where you're like, whoa, 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 man, you just got to the dance. You got let in the door. Now you got to actually do some work. Let's go. I think
that's really good. Yeah.
You know,
that's awesome.
Sports wise, how many people, again, that you know that get into whatever, you know, the NHL, the NBA, the NFL, and you're like, oh, they're going to be awesome. Just right on out. You're like, what the heck happened to them? I mean, people love to make lists. Like in the NFL, the biggest busts in, you know, in the draft, people that were supposed to be amazing and they were never there. You know, I know hockey has its fair share too.
Yeah. So when we talk about apathy and we talk about getting there and enough is enough and I don't have to work as hard, you know, that's somebody who's really probably driven by toys.
Yeah.
And not purpose, right?
That, and I think I go back to our podcast last week with the boys.
Okay.
That is a huge issue. Because what if college is enough for Jackson? What if the AHL is enough for Brady?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you're like, hey, don't be complacent. Let's go. And they're like, well, you know, I got here. I'm good or whatever. And then it's hard to watch people that have talent and mad potential coast at that point.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And as Jackson's dad, that's one of the things I want to be able to try to help him navigate through is to say, hey, just because you got here doesn't mean that it's over. It means it just started. Like we talked last week, rent's due every day.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. All right, as we land the plane here, short podcast today. What's your take home, Dave?
Well, I mean, the take home is you need a coach.
Yep.
You need somebody to evaluate what you're doing that you can be honest with. Coaches aren't interested in just the perfect painted picture. The more jacked up, the better. It gives your coach an ability to add value back to you. So get somebody that you can talk to that can help you, you know, whether it's in your mental state and how you execute whatever you're doing or whatever, and give you good feedback. But then, like you said, Dave, you've got to have a clear brand, a clear path, clear, solid wording that you can rely on when you do feel like stopping, when you do feel like giving up, when you don't want to put in the reps. You know, you have to clearly understand. Like going back to the sports thing real quick, don't miss this. There's a reason why after Tiger Woods' dad died, it was hard for him.
Mm-hmm.
his life coach, pretty much, good or bad. His dad had good things about him and bad things about him, but good or bad, he took a mental, it was mental anguish and grieving because his coach was gone. So I think that's a big part of it. Get the right person.
Yeah, you know, I think if you look at the foundation of, you know, R7, that Destiny Vision strategy is critical. If you're just going to go straight to action, it's like the foundation piece isn't there. And just to relate it back to sports a little bit, when I look at somebody's feet in any sport, it really tells a story. Not their toes and their toe fungus, that kind of thing, but no, how are their feet positioned?
Yep.
You know, if they're foundationally, like with hockey, you know, like there's a certain way your toes need to point. You know, there's certain ways that, you know, your stride, you know, like baseball, golf is another one. You know, if your feet aren't right, you're not going to hit the ball the way you want to. And so I think about the foundation of messaging, how if the messaging is powerful, it will drive remarkable conversions. If the messaging is not, it doesn't make sense to spend all this money behind bad messaging. Yep. We all know the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And so I did have this conversation with a client last week. It's like, man, we just need to throw some money at it. And I'm like, I'm not part of that. Because I can tell in your conversion metrics that, you know, you're getting, people are getting to a certain page, not the product page, and they're leaving, and you're spending a little bit of money here. You got to figure out why they're not purchasing, and it's not a discount, you know. And so it goes back to the messaging, you know, before you amp up that spend, make sure the messaging is converting all the way through at a lower spend, so that when we put a comma or two behind it, it will still convert because the messaging is resonating with a certain audience.
Okay, so but don't you think, and I know we're supposed to wrap it up, but I want to ask you this. Don't you think by that idea of just throw money at it, is that not the same thing as empty reps?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Here. It'll fix it all.
Yeah. Just keep swinging. Just no mentorship, no feedback. Just keep doing it. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
so but, practice, you know, makes perfect. That would go back to that, right?
Yeah. But I think the beauty of R7 is there's a reason why you don't go, here, just read this book, it'll be good.
Right.
No, it's, I'm going to journey with you over this period of time, over this many sessions, and this is what we're going to see spit out the other side of the Whopper Chopper, baby. That's right, it. Out here. This is what's going to happen, you know, and I'm going to, yep, and I'm going to do that with you.
I love it.
So, yeah, that's the beauty.
All right. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate y'all. We'll see you next week.
Later.
Thanks again for joining us. I want to give special thanks to our sponsor, M is Good. Want to learn more about M is Good? Go to misgood.com. Join us again next week as we continue to uncover the secrets to success with faith-based testimonies and the power of R7. Remember, destiny awaits, but time does not.